Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I'm signed at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 22, 2017, or it is the first day of Elul 2021. We will start our second service on this new moon Sabbath with a song entitled, What a Friend We Have in Yahshua.
What a friend we have in
shall it be, and at the coming of the Son of Man and the end time. Now we're on the Brother Johnson's track as it was in the Noah's day, and ironically, even the title on this track is misleading, because I'm so used to being brainwashed by that statement, as it was in the Noah's day, that's the way I have used that statement all my life, because I heard somebody else use it, and I didn't go to the Bible to just see how it exactly read. And so this is exactly how it reads, Matthew 24:37. Let's go ahead and pick it up and read it. Now we're going to be dealing with Matthew 24 here today, and so we exhaust that subject of Matthew 24, for there's a lot of good things in here. And Matthew 24:37, it says that, but as the days of Noah were is a past tense adverb meaning plural, because we have the word days with an S on it. So when you have the word days in a past tense, you have to use a past tense adverb for plural, meaning a word. But Verlus used a past tense adverb, singular, to make his statement, as it was in. In is a preposition, but he didn't put the article behind it, so it's really not saying anything, as it was in Noah's day, simply meaning that Noah's one day. But when you go and read the Bible, it says as the days, D-A-Y-S, that were before the flood. So we go from a singular term to a plural term because it involves the whole world and everybody that live in the world. So what happened in the Noah's days involved the whole world because it brought the whole world to an end. Noah's days brought the whole world to an end. So this is what we're talking about. We have to correct the grammar as we go along as well, so we can get the true meaning and get the true picture. So now, matter of fact, I guess we finished. We finished Matthew 24 in our last study, but I want to review that verse 37. And now we're going to go to Brother Johnson Trapper on page 4. We're entering into the top of page 4 on the second column. It says, Yahweh told Noah to build an ark so that he could save a remnant of man and beast, and then he would destroy everything outside of the ark. Now I want to ask you a question. He created the animals in the beginning. In the first 7 days of creation, or the first 6 days, when he created life on this earth, he created the animals. Everything that of the animals, he created them, just spoke them into existence. So what happened with that? Couldn't he have spoken them in existence again? Why did he have to bring them into the flood? I mean, into the ark to save them, to save a remnant of man? Why did he have to do that? As a typology, because in the last days, we're going by that verse 37 again, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So, in the days of Noah, there was a remnant of the animal shade in the ark, and he used them to continue on their creation at the end of the flood. So now, in the end time, we read to you in our last study that he's going to, Isaiah 11:6, it tells you about, and I'll go read again to you as a review. This is all brand new to put together. Isaiah 11, verse 6, it says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, Adventists will say it over and over again, well, this is in the earth made new after the millennium, when the holy city comes down from God out of heaven and settles upon the plain in Israel, and says then he's going to create the whole world new, and then that's when he's going to create new animals again. But how do we know that he's going to have to recreate new animals? How do we know that? Now, in the type, he preserved animals the other side of the flood, brought them through the ark. They emerged this side of the ark into a new world. And he used those animals from the old world and the diluvian world to perpetuate life and their kind in the new world. So, and now here we have here again a description of animals. So if he's going to have these animals again occupy the new earth, well, then there has to be a type for that. And so the type of knowing the foot is the type for what we're for the antitype, and the antitype is fulfilled here in the 12th hour, not at the end of the millennium. So what I'm telling you right now, this description here in Isaiah 11:6, which is a latter day prophecy, it's not for the end of, at the end of the millennium. This is not a prophecy at the end of the millennium. Isaiah's prophecies are for these last days while probation still is open here in the 12th parabolic hour. So this prophecy right here I'm reading to you in Isaiah 11:6 is a prophecy for these last days. It's fulfilling the antitype of the animals that went into the ark in Noah's day. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, they shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the wind child shall put the wind shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy and all my holy mountain. Now here's your key right here. Holy mountain. We don't have a description in the holy city when it comes down at the end of the millennium of a holy mountain being in that holy, in that city. And we don't have a description, or do we, of a holy mountain being in the earth made new. Yes, there will be, the holy mountain is a capital for the kingdom of this world, of the kingdom of heaven, this world, and that's Jerusalem. So when it says my holy mountain, he's talking about designated at Jerusalem, upon the kingly palace ground in Jerusalem, Israel. That's where his holy mountain was set up with David. That's where David set up the first holy mountain. It was right there in Jerusalem on the kingly palace ground. That's where David is buried today. He's right there, his sepulchre is right there on that there Dome of the Rock mound where they're fighting, the Arabs and the Jews are fighting over today, possession of it. That's where David's sepulchre is at. That's the kingly palace ground. Okay? That's where his holy mountain will be established once he drives out the enemy. But that holy mountain can't be established there until the enemy is driven out. Alright? But in Hebrew, he says in Isaiah 11:9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. See, this is so interesting. It says, and in that day, what day? When all these animals are, there's a covenant made with man and beast here on this earth to live and exist in peace with each other. It says, in that day, it says, and, conjunction meaning in addition to, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Now this is where inspiration comes in, this is where prophecy comes in us. If I were to ask you, what does Jesse represent here? Could you tell me? No, you couldn't tell me. Betty, could you tell me what Jesse represents here?
No.
Okay, well, I can tell you what Jesse represents. It represents the leadership of the Adventist Church today. Jesse was the father of David. David represents the leadership of the Adventist Church today. He succeeded his father. And then the branch, which is the one that comes from David, represents the Savior that comes from heaven. And he's going to succeed David.
Yeah.
And ruling over the Adventist Church.
Mm-hmm.
The Savior, Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
So you have three different entities ruling over the Adventist Church in the last day. You have an antitypical Jesse, you have an antitypical David, then you have an Yahshua, which is antitype of himself. Well, did he come down to the cross, set up the apostolic church, did he rule over the kingdom of heaven here on earth, which is called the kingdom of brass? 2,000 years ago, he set up that kingdom, purified kingdom, called the kingdom of heaven, called the kingdom of David. It's called the everlasting kingdom of David. And Yahshua the branch sit upon that throne and established and called it and set up the apostles. And then he said, now I've got to go to my Father. It's expedient that I go away. But he will send you a comforter in my name. The Savior said, he'll send you a comforter in my name. What was that comforter? That was the Spirit. So what's the Holy Spirit's name? The Holy Spirit's name is Yahshua. And what is Yahshua's name? That's the name of the Father, meaning Yahweh, the Father, is salvation. Okay, so now who is Jesse? He's the first ruler of the Adventist Church in our day. So who represents the first ruler of the Adventist Church in our day? Ellen G. White. Of course, she was female, but nevertheless, she played she had the role of antitypical Jesse, because she was the prophet, and she was the one that started the Advent band, they started the Adventist movement. Ellen G. White. So she represents the father of David. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is the father of David. But then, what came out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? The Shepherd's Rod in 1930. What was it called? The Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. Davidian is coming from the root word David. So, the David Rod message was come out of Jesse, the Adventist Church in 1930. And it lasted for 40 years. And then what was the name of Verlis Johnson's message in 1970? It was called the Isaac Branch. The branch that comes out of David, the rod. That's when I joined Verlis in 1970. During the time when the branch came out of the root of David. And I'm going to read it to you right now. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Okay, and it shall come to pass in that day. And we're in that day right now. This is the day he's talking about, the day that we're in right now. So, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua, this is the Son, with the Father's name, shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. Now, who is the remnant of his people today, Betty? It's the 144,000, not the Adventists. Adventists are commingled with wheat and tares. Tares doesn't represent the remnant. But the wheat represents the remnant. That's the purified section of the Adventist Church. It'd be the 144,000. So, as it says, he's going to set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. His people today is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But the remnant is the 144,000. And he's going to set his hand a second time to recover that remnant out of Israel like he did coming out of Egypt. He set his hand the first time to recover the remnant of his people out of Egypt. It took him 40 years to get a remnant together to take over to the promised land, but he accomplished it. Same thing today. It's taken him 40 years to get a remnant together in the Adventist Church to get them ready to take over into the promised land. And that's the 144,000. Brother Johnson announced them in 1970. And that's been 47 years ago. Okay, now it says, again, the second time recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria. Who is Assyria today? Assyria are your Gentile heathen nations. They're outside the borders of Israel. And from Egypt, and from Patros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, meaning the banner, meaning, you know what a flag looks like when it's got its advertisement on it, like the American flag. That's an ensign. All those things on that American flag represents, tells us a story of what it represents. Okay? So likewise, there's a flag over us. There's a banner over us. And he said, and he shall set up an ensign for the nation, meaning a banner, a standard. A standard is an ensign, meaning a kingdom. He's going to raise up a kingdom that represents a standard for his government from heaven. And shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. For the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah. That's who we are, the house of David. The lawgiver is Judah today. And we come out of the Adventist church. Judah is part of the Adventist church. And Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men to go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he camped by the land of Egypt. So, Betty, what is that highway? We're on that highway right now. Those of us that are hearing this unrolling of this present truth, this is the highway. The highway where present truth is found being taught. This is a highway that has been raised up for the remnant of his people to pass over once again. Okay? Now, let's go back to our track. Noah, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're on Brother Johnson's track. He says, in 1972, Yahweh gave me a vision of the little stone. He said, in 1972, Brother Stone said, I got a vision of this little stone in Daniel 2:34 and 2:35. Being cut out of the mountain, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, see Isaiah 2:2 and Zechariah 4:7. Without hands. Then he told me to set up the antitypical apostolic church, kingdom of God on earth, just as Jesus had done with the typical apostolic church in his day. Only those who enter the kingdom today will be saved. Those who refuse to enter his latter-day kingdom and continue to disobey his rule will perish in the destruction of the plagues. Revelation 18:4. So, Brother Johnson had this vision in 1972. Well, in 2002, this vision made its fulfillment at Kermit, Texas, with Brother Johnson being purged out from fulfilling this vision. But this vision was fulfilled in 2002 without him, with him being purged out. Because he prophesied it was supposed to have been fulfilled by 1974. That's the reason why he didn't know what was going on in 2002, 30 years later. I was there the whole time, I know what happened. So it says, Those who refuse to enter his latter-day kingdom and continue to disobey his rules will perish in the destruction of the plagues. Revelation 18:4. And by the brightness of his coming, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. As the people in Noah's day were destroyed by the flood, one day Yahweh came to Noah and said, "The earth also was brought before Yahweh, and the earth was filled with violence. And Yahweh looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh and had corrupted his way upon the earth. And Yahweh said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with the violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Genesis 6:11-13. Now I want to ask you, Betty and Pat, don't you think that this earth is filled with violence again like we have never seen it before? We have never lived in our lifetime to see this world so filled with violence as we have today. Well, that's the way it was in Noah's day. And what happens when the earth gets so filled with violence, it can no longer function and carry on any material, anything. It has to be brought to an end. That's the reason why we're reading it. As it were, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And your key right here, and every day, all you got to do is just go turn on your news, and boy, I mean, there it is. It's all over the world. So we are truly at that place. We're at the end of the world for the wicked. This year, this is the year that we're at the end of the world for the wicked, but not for the righteous. That's the reason why we're being taught how to enter into the ark, the kingdom here on earth, and be in safety when the wicked come to their end. Because the wicked are coming to their end today, even as we speak. There's thousands of wicked being killed every day around the world. Thousands of them. All over the world. If you were to check the statistics to see how many people are being killed every day all over the world, you would be amazed to find out that there are literally thousands being killed all over the world. So this is fulfillment as it was in the days of Noah. Okay, it says, I will destroy them with the earth. Okay. And what does it say in Revelation 11:18? It says, "And that I might destroy those wicked men that destroy the earth." That's the only scripture in the Bible that says, "And that I may destroy the wicked men, those wicked men that destroy the earth." That destroy the earth. So, the earth has been destroyed. Our earth has literally been destroyed by all the pollution and everything imaginable going on. It has literally just about beyond repair. Now he's destroying the wicked that destroyed the earth. He's destroying them about a thousand. And he raised up Donald Trump with a whole new vision about how to fight wars and how to contain the enemy. And he says the only way to contain them is just go in and kill them as fast as you know how. And this is Donald Trump's theory. And that's exactly the theory you gotta have in order to finally win any kind of war with any of your enemies. This one has to have a plan to just eradicate them as quick as you can. And don't just play tag with them, you know. Okay, it says that Noah was allotted 120 years to prepare the ark, a place of safety, and a people to go into the ark. Likewise today, the fifth angel's message would be given an allotted time to prepare the kingdom, angel, ark of safety, that is to be set up in Jerusalem in the last days, and to prepare a people to go into that ark of safety before probation closes. Now, Brother Johnson is talking about a physical place and a physical location to go into, and this is not bad thinking at all. But he's making it look like that all of those that don't go into that location in Jerusalem in the land of Israel physically are going to be destroyed outside of there. He's painting a picture like that's where the Ark of Safety is set up. Literally, it's just not one place. But as I read his writings, he indicates that wherever present truth is being taught, and you accept that that's where the Ark of Safety is, that you have effectively come into the Ark of Safety if you accept present truth when it's being preached to you. And so that's wonderful for the people. That's wonderful for people to hear, because that is the truth. Guarantee you, if you accept present truth as it's revealed to you, and you don't have to understand everything that's gone before, just understand the present truth as it's revealed. Now, what did Joshua? What did he expect the people back in his day to believe, to be healed? To be healed and to be saved. The thief on the cross just acknowledged him as the true Messiah. And that he didn't deserve the death. He said, I deserve it, but he doesn't deserve it. And he asked the Savior, said, will you remember me in paradise? When you come into your kingdom, he says, today you shall be with me in paradise. And all the thief did was just in the last moment acknowledge him as a true Messiah and just ask him to save him. And that's all he had to do, to show that he believed in him and that he was for real, and Yahshua gave him eternal life for that. So I'm telling anybody, my goodness, I don't expect you to understand the things I've learned in the last 47 years. My goodness alive. That would be impossible for anybody within a few days or a few hours to understand nothing what I've been through the last 47 years to learn and understand. But Heavenly Father knows that that's not necessary for people's salvation that come and hear the truth. And Yahshua's day, the whole city's come out and heard him preach. And it said everyone that believed his message that day, that had any kind of infirmities, any kind of sickness, they were healed automatically. All they had to do was just say, I believe this message. I believe that he is the Son of Yahweh. That's all they had to say. And they were healed instantly. Whole cities were healed. One would get healed and the other would say, my goodness, is that all you have to do is just acknowledge him as the Savior? And believe on him and be willing to obey him and I can be healed? Oh, gladly do that. One man was blind. He accepted that proffer and he was healed. Another man had been a paraplegic for 38 years. He accepted it just like that and was healed instantly. I don't know. I said he went through whole cities and wherever he went through, said every person in that city was healed that needed healing. So there was not a sick one among that whole city where he went. He went through city after city, healing everybody in all those cities. Now that's salvation at work, folks. And the thing is, that's what he's calling upon me and Catherine to be able to do. And it seems like every time we find somebody that will sit down and hear our message, we have to deal with their health problems first. We've always had to do this. Always had to deal with their health problems first. I had to have my health problems dealt with as soon as I met Brother Johnson in 1970. First thing he had to do, he had to go to work on me because I had some bad problems. Had to get me cleared up to where I could just sit there in church and listen to him. So that's the case with everybody. So now, Catherine and I have been given that we've been given that commission to be able to lay our hands on people and recover them from their problem, wherever it is. Or just be able to have the answer to what they need and relieve suffering immediately. That's what Catherine's been doing for the last 20 years. Man, Catherine had a call today from a lady up in Amarillo, Texas. Oh man, this woman is desperate. She's 61 years old. She's got a feeding tube in her stomach. She's got cancer all over her body. The doctor's already cut her jawbone out because she had bone cancer. They took a piece of bone out of her leg and put it in her jaw, but she can't eat because she can't move it. But she told her husband, and she says, "I'm not ready to leave this world. I want to live."
Who's her friend?
Huh?
Her friend.
And so her friend come and told her about this here the product that we have that heals cancer. And boy, she got on the phone immediately and called her, and she gave us our number, and she called us, the first time caller. And she believes that this stuff, even with her and her dying, her dying sister, huh?
He calls, she can't hardly talk.
Oh yeah, the husband calls for his wife. She couldn't hardly talk. And said she don't want to die. But yet, she don't have no hope of living unless she finds something that is a real answer. Well, her friend, had a friend come and tell us that you need to get in touch with these people, or Catherine down there in Liberty Hill, Texas, because she's got a product that really works. It works for us. And said, this thing works. And so they took a hold of faith. They believed it. And they called. And so the product will be on its way tomorrow. Today is our Sabbath. Their product is going to go to them. And if people are poor, they don't have money. And so they're going to get the product for free. We're going to pay for the whole thing. Because that's part of our ministry. If the people are poor and they can't afford anything, we give it to them. But if they want to contribute, and of course it does cost us to produce it and all of that. But nevertheless, it's there because Yahweh always blesses us. He always blesses us when we bless others. We always get a blessing. We always get a blessing just to show that he approved of that. Okay, now it goes on to say here, Noah and his family with the animals went into the ark, and the door of the ark, door of probation for the antediluvian world, was closed. 7 days passed before the rain started falling, and the destruction began, in which all things were destroyed. Just so in our day, the fifth angel's message ends with the close of the probation, and according unto the prophecy, history, type and antitype, the plagues began to fall 49 days after probation closes. See Daniel 7:12. Now this is deep prophecy here, folks. I don't expect the first time hearers of this to understand how we know it 49 days after probation closed that the plagues began to fall. But anyway, this is for Israel. After probation closes, 49 days go by for the plagues to fall. See Daniel 7:12, Revelation 18:8, Ezekiel 4:6, and brings great destruction upon the inhabitants of the world outside of the kingdom after the end of the millennium. After the end of the millennium comes down, a fire comes down from heaven, Revelation 20, verse 2 to 9. Now, isn't this amazing? Brother Johnson, at the end of the millennium. Now, the reason why Brother Johnson is not with us today and could not be with us is because he put the fulfillment of the prophecies here in this 12th parabolic hour before probation closes Those prophecies he put at the end of the millennium. He didn't understand how to explain them in our time, that they're going to be fulfilled in these last days in our time. So therefore, that's the reason why he's not here with us. Because he's teaching all the fulfillment of the stuff at the end of the millennium. Because he says right here, fire comes down from heaven, Revelation 20, verse 2 to 9. But is that the first place that fire comes down from heaven is mentioned? No. Revelation 19, 20 is the first mention. And that's before Revelation 20, verse 2 to 9. But Brother Johnson skipped right over Revelation 19, 20. He wouldn't touch that one because he didn't understand it. But B.T. Hollis did, and B.T. Hollis explained it. And Brother Johnson had B.T. Hollis' textbook. He had his textbook explaining this. And yet Brother Johnson still ignored it. And so that shows you that's why he's not with us today. And I'm going to show you now exactly what I'm talking about here in Revelation 19:20. I've had this so much already. I've already preached this stuff so much already. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now this lake of fire is here in these last days. This is not at the end of the millennium, folks. This is right in front of us. Our probation is still open. And who is the beast and the false prophet? We've been through this before. And I can tell you right now who the beast. Well, I've told you before who the beast was. He starts out with the identity as the dragon. And the dragon is the first identity of Satan, Lucifer. But seeing how Lucifer is not going to be destroyed until after the millennium, then it's going to have to be somebody that represents Lucifer before the millennium that's going to be destroyed. And the first identity we have of any man in these last days of representing Lucifer has already proved it, is Obama. Obama is this beast that's mentioned here in Revelation 19:20. He's a Satan incarnate in the human flesh. The reason why I say that is because Satan's incarnate has to be a black man. Can't be a white man. How do I know that? I know that because Cain, the first Satan incarnate on this earth that slew his brother Abel in the Garden of Eden, was turned black. He already turned him to black and put a mark on him. And how do I know that every Satan incarnate ever since then has been a black man? Ham, the second son of Noah, that defiled his father's wife, his mother, after he came out of the ark of the flood, he was turned black. He was turned into a black man. That's how I know. Now, that doesn't mean that the black race is cursed. No, they're not. No more than the white race. Now, all the races of the earth have a curse on them. All the races. The Jewish, especially the Jews. So that doesn't mean, but it just means what the Bible says, that when a curse was put on Ham, he was turned black, and said he was to be a servant to his brothers Shem and Japheth. But his people were to be servants, and Shem represented the Hebrew race, and Japheth, the youngest brother, represented the Gentile nation. And who did Ham represent? He represented the infidel, heathen, black races. The black race of people that were to be servants to the white races. That's what we fought the Civil War over in the 60s here in this country. Was over the blacks said, no, I don't want to be servants to the whites. That's what they had the Civil War back in the 60s for. I mean, what I call a race war, the Civil Rights Movement, to make blacks equal with the whites. No, That's what Abraham Lincoln tried to do. Make blacks equal with the whites. Okay? So now, it says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. I'm going to read this again, Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken. Was taken is a past tense adverb now, showing that this actually happened here in these last days. Now, if it was to happen at the end of the millennium, you'd say, and the beast, which is yet future, will be taken at the end of the millennium, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So the beast and the false prophet. Well, who is the false prophet? Well, if Obama represented the beast, and he's still representing the beast. Obama hadn't stopped his ministry just because he left the White House and had to give up his seat at the White House doesn't mean he's given up his seat that Satan has given him. Because the Satan gave him his seat in Revelation 11:13 or 11:5. This is where Obama got his seat. And Revelation 13, 5, yeah. It says that, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Okay. And it says in verse 4, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. And it says in verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And verse 2 of Revelation 13:2, here it is. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. The dragon is Satan, Lucifer, and he gave his incarnate son, his offspring, Obama, he gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Okay? So now, if Obama had gone away after his election was over, in January of 2017, if Obama had retired quietly to his old homestead somewhere and dropped out of the political scene, we couldn't say that he represents this beast. But because he's continued on, and as Donald Trump goes around the world, this Obama follows him, and he goes and meets with the same heads of state that Donald Trump meets with. He meets with them, and he tries to undo everything Donald Trump is trying to do. So he's continuing on the warfare. So this is Satan incarnate. I can give a whole study on this and give you many, many scriptures backing this up. But let's go ahead. We got about 9-10 minutes left in our sermon here. So it says here on page 5 of Curtis Johnson's tract, it says, and fire comes down from heaven at the end of the millennium, but in Revelation 20:2-9, but fire comes down and creates a lake of fire. Well, I said it comes down. Now, just a minute. It didn't say that in Revelation 19:20. It said, it didn't say a fire came down from heaven, but they said that there was a lake of fire, though, created here on earth, and that the beast and the false prophet and those that they had deceived and taken the mark of the beast were taken, both of them alive, it said, alive, and cast into this lake of fire. Okay, so And this lake of fire is a type of the fire at the end of the millennium that will consume all the wicked, and that is the second death, which there is no resurrection from that. All right, let us go ahead now. It says, thus you have the perfect parallel in which everything in each ark of the safety was and will be saved, and everything outside of each ark of the safety was and will be destroyed. My friends, if you reject the fifth angel's message, which prepares you to enter the kingdom ark of the safety today, you will be forever doomed. As those who rejected Noah's message were forever doomed by the flood. Alright, now, it says also, those Jews who rejected Yahshua and the message of the apostolic church kingdom had their probation closed in 34 A.D. with the stoning of Stephen, and subsequently were destroyed and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. Thus we have two examples of arks of safety in which the obedient ones were saved and the rejecters of the truth were lost and destroyed. Now it is your time and chance. Will you make it into the ark of the safety, the kingdom of Yahweh on earth today, or will you be destroyed with everlasting destruction? The choice is yours. It is entirely up to you. Now here Brother Johnson says, he's asking you, will you make it into the ark of safety, the kingdom of God here on earth today? And he's, and Brother Johnson is saying that Gilead Center is the headquarters for this kingdom of God here on earth today. I'm using the same words that he uses, that he used. So, but in another place he says, the only place of Ark of Safety is in Jerusalem and Israel on the last day, where the Ark of Safety is set up. Then he comes along here and tells him, he's adamant, you accept this fifth angel's message that I'm teaching here, and then you will effectively will enter into the Ark of Safety here, in our day, here on this earth, which is the same thing as the kingdom of heaven set up here on this earth with me, here at Gilead Center. This is what he's telling the Advent. So, I'm saying, yeah, it is true. Luke 17:20 tells us that the kingdom cometh not with observation, but the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. It doesn't come with observation. And say, well, it's set up over here with a bunch of buildings and so forth at this particular location. No, it says the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. When you accept present truth, you automatically have the kingdom of heaven come unto you. It's just that pure and simple. I'm in the kingdom of heaven. I teach the message of the kingdom of heaven. I am in the kingdom. My wife and I are both in the kingdom of heaven. And everyone that hears these messages can claim the same promises that I'm claiming from the scriptures. By accepting present truth, the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. Always. No matter where you go, whatever you do, the kingdom of Yahweh is always within you as long as you abide in present truth on a daily basis. Alright? So it says, or will you be destroyed with everlasting destruction? The choice is yours. It is entirely up to you. Well, we're rocking along here pretty good. It says a two-year warning. Now, Brother Johnson is making a prophecy here in 1972. He said, you got a two-year warning here. He said, the news that we see and hear on TV and radio and read about in newspapers and magazines makes it very evident that we have no doubt reached the condition today that compare in every way with the conditions of the world. And people in Noah's day, therefore, it is obvious that we are building up for a universal disaster? What is the answer for Yahweh's people? How shall they escape? Well, the answer is quite simple. For the bottom line is, the righteous seed, the saints of the Most High, will enter into the kingdom of Yahweh that is set up in Jerusalem in the latter days. Now in one place he says, come and join me, I have come to Texas, and you will be in the kingdom. You will have come into the kingdom. And then he says, now there's going to be a kingdom set up there in the last days in Jerusalem. And everybody's going to be required to come over there. Well, what he's saying, the Brother Johnson is saying, this kingdom that I have here in Sherman, Texas, is going to be transported to Jerusalem. That's what he's telling. He said, we have a two-year period from this day, from this track on, or from this point on, we have a two-year period that this is going to happen. Okay? While the wicked seed, those who worship the beast and his image, Revelation 14:9-11, will perish in the destruction of the plagues at the end of the probation. Brothers and sisters, please heed this most solemn message and escape the coming destruction. Act now. Do not repeat the folly of the people in Noah's day and be forever lost. Well, actually, this is very good, because I can repeat the same message to you today, those that hear this message. Just accept the present truth today, and don't worry about what time this kingdom is going to be set up in the future and if you're going to be able to enter into it. If you accept present truth today and walk in the light of the truth as you understand it, you're already in that kingdom that's going to be set up, wherever it's going to be set up in the last days, literally. And I'm saying, yes, literally, it's going to end up in Jerusalem, Israel. Well, actually, this brings the close of our study. This is our contact, just at the 11th hour calling. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Purify my soul like gold tried to fire by the Elijah David. I've been living a long time in this world, so it seems. They see rainbows and following dreams. Oh, the living desires is striving to please. I still in this world with a life to with me. But my Savior knows better. He knew all along that this trials to tell keeps me strong. Come the cleanse of this love with intense desire, and purify my soul like gold shining in the fire. So stop chasing rainbows and the fireflies, for treasures are laid within heaven will go. And a man of full blessing come from the storehouse of God, and the windows of heaven are open with love. But now I surrender my life to His grace. I know I'm not worthy, but I want to go there. To the friend of the living, I know can He be. Land of but my Savior knows better. He knew all along that testimony.